baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
So I was all excited last night, buddy. I was getting an opportunity to go check out the new look Calgary Flames. So I was at the game last night against Buffalo, Huberto, Uyghur, Kadri. The Flames, of course, have looked really good this beginning of the season here, winning their first three games. And, of course, okay. I go to the game against the lowly Buffalo Sabres, which I was really excited, got cheap tickets, and on top of it was like, we're going to for sure win this game, and then took a 6-3 loss. So I don't know, man. My sports team's just constantly, I feel like I'm being kicked while I'm down right now. I'm still not over this Jays loss. Like,
dude, you're talking to a Montreal Canadiens, Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So, yeah, it hasn't been too bright in my household this fall myself. We are a Blue Jays podcast, though, so let's talk
Let's get baseball. Into some baseball here. You're like, why did you start like this, Scott? Okay, before we get right into it, though, we do have some really great interviews coming up here in the next week. Tomorrow, we release our interview with Vancouver Canadian TJ Brock. So he was drafted in the 6th round this year in 2022. He is a reliever, is what it looks like he's going to be. The kid throws 100 miles an hour. There's a portion of the interview where he's talking about strikeouts and just how intense he gets, and just that strikeout pitchers tend to be that animal that's a little more intense, you know, that's really like, I mean, we've had Hagen Danner on and he mentioned his favorite reliever was Jordan Romano, and his exact words was, because he's a psycho out there. And that does tend to be those high leverage relievers, right? They're just a little bit more into it for whatever it is. So great interview with him. On Monday, we sit down and talk with Buffalo Bison's Davis Schneider. This is a guy most of you probably have not heard of, but very well could be playing time with this Toronto Blue Jays team next year. Second baseman, left fielder. He's got some positional versatility, and his bat-to-ball skills are top-notch in this system. He's risen from Vancouver all the way up to Buffalo just this season. Kind of an under-the-radar dude, so we'll sit down and chat with him. That's Monday. And then on Wednesday, we talk with Jimmy Robbins, who is a pitcher and the top pitcher, statistically, with the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. He's probably going to get the bump to Buffalo next season. So some minor league guys stopping by and hanging out with us in the next week. That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
All right, buddy, lots to talk about here. It is official. I know we did a video about it yesterday, just with the speculation, but it has dropped. John Schneider returns as the Blue Jays manager. We'll talk the term. Lourdes missing the last month of the season. Makes sense. Sense all of a sudden. He underwent wrist surgery just yesterday. The Toronto Blue Jays are golden. 5 Gold Glove nominations for this 2022 squad. But does it mean anything? We'll talk about Gold Gloves and how they are chosen. Yankees' Aaron Boone feels that the roof being open last night in Houston hurt the Bronx Bombers as they go down 2-0 in the ALCS. The Padres and Phillies back to it tonight in the NLCS. And we'll end things up with Jose Altuve and that interaction he had with the fan on the field, which was just really weird. So we'll get into it.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam, John Schneider officially had the interim tag removed from his position and was given a 3-year contract extension as the manager of this Toronto Blue Jays team.
Cool.
What was it? McSweeney McDougars or whatever was
Chug McBoogerson or something.
Chuggin.
On Twitter. Yeah. Shout out to him for a leak.
Yeah, definitely for,
he nailed
for
it.
Breaking the leak and, yeah. And breaking the story yesterday. I know there was some fairly random dude on Twitter who was like, John Schneider will be signed tomorrow to a 3-year contract extension, and then he was. So congratulations to – we should have done our due diligence here and actually looked up who it was, but that's fine.
Shane Seney on Twitter.
There it is.
Shug McSween.
At Chug McSween's. There you go.
There you go.
Congrats on breaking that news. We got into this pretty deep yesterday, so we don't need to dive too far in. No big surprise, though, eh?
No. It's good. It's good to just have one less loose end to worry about. Let's just...
This front office can now focus their attention on what needs to be done in the offseason to bolster these weak points of the roster. So they've got their... They've got their captain at the helm of the ship here. No big surprise. There weren't a lot of other candidates out there. Nothing against John Schneider. I'm actually fine with the signing. I think that he wasn't really... I think he did enough in the time with the team to give him some rope and give him another year. And we talked about this when Chris Black was on the show, producer with Sportsnet, and he brought up the fact that it's most likely John Schneider will be back because of how many bullets Ross Atkins has. And Ross Atkins is using his bullets, right? He might, maybe, possibly has one more manager firing in him before he's gone. And even that is really rolling the dice. So,
Hold on. I would say, look, this is a 3-year extension with an option. So potentially 4 seasons. If the team is rolling, if there's a World Series in the next 4 years, John Schneider gets an extension beyond 2026. He's a young guy.
Yep.
Right? If there's a World Series or even at least like a deep playoff run that you consider successful, but then after that, there is some regression, right? As Vladdy's more expensive into his contract and we're bringing up the new wave of guys, Ross Atkins gets a re-roll, I would say. Like a free set of bullets.
If they win, Ross Atkins is fine. I wasn't talking bullets like, oh, if they go deep into the playoffs here and really become a world-beating team.
Okay. I just mean there may need to be like a shakeup at some point where, you know, the World Series fatigue has set in and we're like, yes, yeah, so we get it. 4-time world champion Toronto Blue Jays. And there's some carelessness in that clubhouse. And Ross is like, hey, we got to give these superstars a little bit of a shake. Man, am I ever living in a dream world, hey?
What a positive spin on this whole thing, Adam. Well done. There is something to be said for consistency at the manager position. There is a reason why Dave Roberts has been at the helm of that Los Angeles Dodgers organization for years and years and years now. There is something about having that group within the clubhouse that can guide any new faces into the culture of the organization. And I think John Schneider is perfect for that role. Again, you look at the other options. It was weird right from the beginning when they did the press conference and were like, John Schneider most likely is the guy. We probably can't do better than him. Kind of an odd spin on it, but
that's the only thing that I'm just like, that's weird. I would have just not addressed it.
Yeah, just don't address it.
Even if someone asked it and was like, well, what are you guys doing with John Schneider in the management position? I would have said something like, look, we're not here to talk about that today.
Yeah, he did a great job.
He did a great job at the end of the second half of the season, taking over, but we're not here to talk about that.
We're evaluating where we go from here and leave it at that. But anyways, again, we did have a pretty in-depth video just yesterday about it. So let's move on to this, because really the biggest news yesterday when it comes to the Blue Jays, for me anyways, was finding out that Lourdes Gurriel Jr. had been struggling with wrist injuries almost the last 3 months of the season and eventually wound up getting surgery just yesterday on it to repair it. Now, the good news is that he should be good to go for spring training. But it was a little eye-opening for me because Lourdes Gurriel Jr.'s approach at the plate seemed to change. At least midway through the season it did. He became a much more bat-to-ball contact hitter. Not that Lourdes Gurriel had ever been the dude where you were like, oh yeah, he's hitting a ton of bombs. But the kid has power. And he would normally get a hole of 15 a year-ish. And he was bases loaded, lights out. Look out if the bases are loaded. So he became more of an average hitter this. And when I say average, I mean batting average focused. He flirted with 300 most of the season. I think he ended before he went on the shelf there right around 290. And you could tell that he really took a dip the last couple weeks. And maybe this all was because of the injury. What are you thinking when you, I mean, obviously everyone's playing injured at the end of the year, but there, this really does show why Lourdes wasn't able to get back into that lineup. And I think that they postponed surgery on him to try and get him to kind of work his way through it so that he could play in the playoffs, and it just never came to fruition. Where are you at on Lourdes?
Well, for me, you know, me, optimism guy, here we are. I look at this with a sight set on the future. And to me, with this being a crossroads of sorts for this team's roster construction, I think that this, for better or worse, almost guarantees that Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is going to have to be a part of this team moving forward, because they can't deal him this offseason. Like, he won't, with him recovering from a wrist, like, he's not tradable.
I don't know. I almost felt the complete opposite of that. I almost felt like, look at how good he has been, and he did this, limping through it at the end of the year with a bum wrist.
Won't he need to pass a physical before a trade could be completed? And how do you do that with a
absolutely
wrist in a cast?
Well, absolutely, you got to pass a physical, but I mean, injured players get traded. It's not unheard of. And if his progress, if the doctors say he looks good, he's probably going to be ready for spring training. Why would that impede you as a opposing team?
I guess it's wrist surgery. It's not Tommy John, but it's still. I don't know. When I read this, I just thought, well, he's here. He's going to be rehabbing with the Jays for the next 4 to 6 months through the offseason. He's not going anywhere. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think Lourdes is going anywhere anyways for a few reasons. Number one, he's on such a controllable contract. He was an international free agent, of course, comes from Cuba, and I think his final year is $3.5 million he's going to make this year. So if you're going to move an outfielder, it just makes more sense to move Teoscar, who's probably in line for $14 to $16 million in arbitration this season.
Yeah. All right. 5.4 is what he's in line to get this year. So
5.4 is this last season? Okay.
Yeah. No, sorry. This one coming up to the 2023 season. Yes. And then he has 1 year of arbitration in 2024 before he's a free agent.
And we'll see. It's possible this Blue Jays team doesn't even move Lourdes or Hernandez, but it does feel like if there is a place where you can slip in a left-handed bat that's going to do the job in the outfield, that's the easiest position to fill. You know, like getting a big bat in the infield that's a lefty, where are you going to stick him? And I don't even know if this team has decided that a lefty bat is imperative at this point. I mean, we've been talking about this for 2 years, so who knows? But if there are going to be some tweaks and changes to this roster, because it's not coming from the management side, everyone felt like something needed to be done, whether it was a management change or whether it was within this clubhouse. And the truth is, it's got to be the clubhouse now.
Got to be the clubhouse. Got to be something.
They're going to go after pitching. But I just mean, if you're going to address all of the supposed needs of this team, one of them being shoring up center field and providing a lefty bat to break up the righties in this lineup, the outfield is the place you would do it. And so if you are going to move a guy, Lourdes or Hernandez just strategically seem to make the most sense. Okay. Let's move along here. Five. Go ahead.
No, five. You know, I love to just throw an out there.
So five Blue Jays were nominated for Gold Gloves yesterday. You've got the list of them here. Let's run them down.
We got Vlad Jr.
To see that one. And we've talked about this for years. Remember last year when he just started to really look like he'd shored up his defense at first and he was still missing those balls over the head, that he had zero problem with this season.
Yeah.
Kind of took him to the next level. But we were saying, could he be a Gold Glove candidate? Here he is. Good for him.
Here he is. So he converted to first base during the COVID season, correct? The shortened 60-game season. That was his first year at first.
Nope, 2021.
Was he still playing third base in the
COVID year? He was playing third in 2020, yep.
Oh, so this is just his second year at first base.
That's right, buddy.
Not bad. Not bad. I've been playing first base for years. I'm nowhere near as good. So Vlad Jr. picking it up well, putting the work in. Nice to see. Matt Chapman. People touting the defensive metrics do not look good for Matt Chapman. But defensive metrics are the most broken of all metrics, right?
I agree.
So Matt Chapman nominated again, although maybe part of that is just on the weight of his name, because I know a lot of this stuff is...
it's voted. So Gold Gloves are determined by the coaches and managers watching it and voting. Yep. And we'll get that, but go ahead. Okay. Yeah.
Matt Chapman, Whit Merrifield of the Blue Jays second half, Jackie Bradley Jr. as well. And Jose Berríos, which was the most eye-twisting name that I saw on the list of five.
And I think this is the first year that they've given out a Gold Glove to the utility guy, right? Which is what Whit Merrifield was.
Is that what he was officially?
He was nominated for a Gold Glove as the utility player. So
interesting. Oh, I didn't catch that. It is, nice little tidbit there, Scott.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, so let's get into Gold Gloves because... So let's start with this. There is a divide in baseball currently between the old heads who love the eye test, probably played their whole life, probably over 40. And then there's the new analytically driven younger crowd who truly value the numbers on the page. So defensively, it is so difficult, and I know you just kind of touched on this, it is almost impossible to truly break down someone's defensive ability and put a number by it so that all the stat heads can look at it and go, better, worse, the worst, who do we want, blah, 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 let's make a ranking system. Unfortunately, and I know we might get roasted, I might get roasted in the comments for this, but the eye test... amongst managers and coaches at MLB level is probably the best metric to measure these guys. And I mean that. Like, listen, if you're a manager of an opposing team and you've got Matt Chapman to deal with and all of a sudden you're rethinking constantly as the game goes on, can I put a guy in here who's going to hit it the other way? Can I do this? Can I shift it here? Can I do that? Right? When you've got Lourdes Gurriel Jr. in left field, the opposing manager's like, okay, well, you can't run on him on a fly ball, like a guy at third. You know, like these sort of caveats that a manager needs to consider is what these guys are voting on.
Yeah.
So, yes, I agree. The outs above average and the defensive runs saved of a guy like Matt Chapman does not compare to some of the other guys playing third base that maybe didn't get nominated. I know there's a bunch of stat heads in Blue Jays land. Brennan Delaney, our good buddy, who was just on the show going over prospects with us last week, is a good example. He was all up in arms about the catching nominees and that Alejandro Kirk wasn't in the nomination because when it comes to his metrics, he was probably third best. Listen, there's something to be said for what the manager sees. I truly believe that. I know that I'm in that. I'm the, you know, I feel like, I try really hard to see both sides. You know, I don't want to be the old man screaming at clouds. But when it comes to the defensive side of the game and Gold Gloves, this is how it's always been decided. And yes, it is a little bit of a popularity contest sometimes. I agree, Juan Soto probably wasn't one of the best fielders to be voted in at that time. You know, he's got name cachet. That said, who gives a shit? It's a Gold Glove. It's not a World Series. It means absolutely nothing. It's an individual award. And organizations know darn well that they can use this against players in arbitration, in contract negotiations, right? They can bring out those defensive metrics. They play it however they want so that they're the one in the driver's seat when it comes to management. So it's really more of a tip of the hat to guys who managers are worried about when they're in the field. Did you have anything to add on this? I'm going.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I think I prefer these over. This might be like the best way to vote on an award. Other than, maybe player vote is also a good one. Player voted awards, I always value. Way more than the baseball writers voting on anything.
Like,
You know? But yeah, you know, the players.
You
are
and
like,
Barry Bonds both feel strongly about this, but.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, I could go back and forth all day on this, but you know how I feel about war, right? Hmm.
As long as it's adjusted for weather.
As long as it's adjusted for weather. Yes, I want manager vote adjusted for weather for all of my awards. Kevin Cash down in that sunny Tampa Bay area. What does that even mean? I don't think the MVP should just be a who has the highest war at the end of the season award.
I agree with that 100%.
Right? So as an extrapolation of that philosophy, I don't think that Gold Glove awards should just be, well, who has the best specific defensive metrics or outs above replacement or throws under the radar, whatever the stupid titles are, even for defensive. You can tell I don't really follow defensive metrics because I don't put a whole lot of stock.
I did want to just really quickly, for those wondering what we mean when we say that they're flawed, defensive metrics. So defensive runs saved and outs above average, what they've done is they've tried to put a number to your defensive position. That's what stat heads do. But it does hurt a player with more range who gets to more balls than, let's say, someone who just plays a really good. Like Trey Turner. If you look at Trey Turner, his defensive metrics look pretty good. But if you talk to everyone who is in Dodgerland, they're going to tell you Trey Turner would be best served to be moved to second base. So, you know, there's this gray area when it comes to defensive metrics that's very difficult to judge. And what do you do? I mean, sometimes the eye test, you just got to roll with it. Sorry, kids. Yep.
The old eye test. All right. Anything else to add on Gold Gloves before we move on?
Let's move on in the infamous words of David Ortiz. The Yankees lose.
Houston. Down 2-0 now in that ALCS, eh?
Astros win on the back of a 3-run long ball from Alex Bregman in the third inning. Yankees never really came back from that. It was an interesting game. I caught the highlights. I was at the Flames game watching them freaking shit the bed. So, Aaron Judge hit a deep fly ball to right field in the eighth that Kyle Tucker caught above the wall. And this is where your talk of lower all the walls. I want the walls lower. I want to
6 foot
these
walls. Yeah, you bet.
I want to see home runs stolen. That's exactly what it is in Houston, right? It's a nice 6 foot wall. Kyle Tucker with the glove up and above there.
Now,
and
just picture a world, Scott, where that highlight instead is with a 10 to 12 foot wall, and all he's doing is just, he just made an out.
Back against the wall, just catches it.
Stole a double.
Face. Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. No. 6 foot walls. Anyways, go back to your point.
Hey, no, I agree with you, man. I want short walls. I'm with you. Even just watching that play, you were the first person I thought of. I was Like, Adam would love this. So this is a deep fly ball. Obviously, it's a home run in Yankee Stadium because anything hit to right field in that little minor league ballpark is a home run. The Yankees had some interesting things to say after the game. I know Aaron Boone came out and basically, more or less, I'm paraphrasing, but said that the roof being open in Houston hurt them substantially, which I really thought was an interesting thing to say in a league that has, what is it, four stadiums with roofs?
Yeah, something like that.
And then, so basically what he was saying was that if only we were playing another team with a roof where the weather was bad enough that they had to close it. What an odd thing to bring up.
Yeah, it is a weird gripe to put out there. Like, I mean, especially for a team who just really benefited from a rained out game five, like,
yes!
2 days ago. Like, well, the weather really hurt us in this game two against the Astros that we probably shouldn't have even been in if not for the weather helping us get here 3 days ago. Like, come on, man.
I was really shocked to hear it because there's so many things you could have said in that post-game press conference. But to bring up the wind and the roof being open,
yeah.
It's not like it, like you're almost on the point where you're like, what are you saying?
Yeah,
it's like the
weird.
Astros didn't need to deal with this same thing.
I mean, again, with a Yankee Stadium that is like with that short porch and right that is, you know, touted as one of the most effective home field advantages in all of baseball, like to complain about the advantage Astros had. Again, this just feels like you guys know you're still in this series, right?
Thank you.
Right? Like, you didn't get eliminated here. This is not, it just felt like, you know, oh, we're looking back in hindsight. Yeah, we could have gone further this year if not for that stupid weather and her little dog, too. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
No, I agree, man. I agree. And
it was
the
a
first
weird
thing I
statement.
Of, the first thing I thought of, too, not with the statement, but just after this game, is I just envisioned the video of all the drunk Yankee fans screaming, "We want Houston, we want Houston." It's like, how bad do you want them now? Right? Like, the backs of this New York Yankees team are against the wall, man. And I know that you just look at that game one, like you're going to start making excuses about the roof being open. In that game one, New York Yankees hitters struck out 17 times. Just let that sit in. That's almost two full times through the batting order.
Yeah,
a guy
insane.
Striking out. It's absolutely insane, especially when you look over at the Astros. They struck out two times. 15 times more, the Yankees struck out, put a K on the board, which, by the way, is the biggest differential in strikeouts in Major League Baseball history in a playoff game. So you could sit there after the game all day long and talk about how the roof being open really hurt you. But what are we talking about here?
Again, it just weird sour grapes, man. And it's,
yeah, that's 100% what it is. Weird sour grapes. And honestly, I do hope the Yankees make this a series. I don't wish to see Houston just waltz through this thing, go to the World Series, get to rest up while Padres and Phillies beat the crap out of each other. Right? Like, let's see this series go six. But that's on the Yankees, and they need to yeah. play a little bit better baseball to pull this off. Did you have anything to add on this series? Of course, they are sitting with an off day today before they head back to New York for game three tomorrow.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Again, this whole conference series is hard for me to watch because
yeah,
AL, I don't yeah. want either team to win, and the NL, I'm fine with either team winning. So I have like no investment in any of these games right now. other than looking ahead to the World Series. Really,
it's funny. There's a few exceptions, but for the most part, this is Blue Jays fandom to a T. Just like, oh, the Astros, oh, the Yankees, like,
yeah, pick your poison, right?
Yeah,
for sure.
So everyone in Blue Jays land, for the most part, obviously there's exceptions, seem to be cheering for whoever comes out of this Padres or Phillies series, and what a series it is turning out to be. Huge win from San Diego in that game too to even the series up. Their lone off day was yesterday, and now it is baseball every day until a World Series team, or a team headed to the World Series, is crowned. Yep. 5 games in a row it could be. This is where the depth that we have talked about is going to start to show. Okay, and yes, the San Diego Padres do have more depth, especially when you start talking about the bullpen and their pitching. So it's going to be very interesting. Joe Musgrove takes the mound. That's kind of the Padres' big stud. I'm excited to see Musgrove on the mound again. He has been lights out all playoffs, buddy. I should have pulled it up. I think his ERA is like 1.38 in the playoffs. So he is looking incredible. He is going to be fired up, and he is going to be matched up against Ranger Suarez, who has also had a fairly good playoff run. He's sitting, I think his ERA is like 2.5 or something like that. They are in Philly tonight, so this is pretty exciting for fans of Philadelphia and fans of San Diego, because they actually get a 7:30 Eastern start time, Adam. Look at that, a prime time game for the first time in this series, and probably even the first time that these teams have played. Not the Padres, because they were lined up against the Dodgers, so of course MLB put them on a pedestal for a while, right, right. But no, kind of cool for Philadelphia to finally get a game that's watchable as a fan, well, not middle of the afternoon.
Don't get used to it, because by Sunday they're back to 2:30. So
that's right. Got to give that Yankee game the spectators it deserves. There's so many reasons to hate the Yankees. Like, and it's not even all of their fault, but
yeah, it's dumb. Dumb stuff.
Okay. Let's wrap up here. I know we're probably a little bit shorter of an episode. We have been going live almost every day, so if you folks are feeling like we're ripping you off on content here, well, I don't know what to say. Take a long walk on a short plank, I guess. If you are still watching, by the way, we really do appreciate your viewership. This walk-off community blows Adams in my mind all the time. You can feel free to follow us on Twitter at Walk-Off Podcast, on Instagram, The Walk-Off Podcast. And if you have yet to hit subscribe on either your audio or the YouTube side of things, of course, please do so. It would be very, very much appreciated.
Cross over. Whether you're an audio listener, just come subscribe to the page just to help us out. Or if you're a subscriber here and you don't ever listen to podcasts, just go hit the subscribe button. You don't have to listen to us there. You don't have to watch us here. Just help with the numbers so we can fib to our advertisers and our sponsors, please.
Listen, I'm going to brag a little bit here, okay? Because you displayed the numbers out for us yesterday, and the Walk-Off is the number 19 baseball podcast audio-wise in Canada right now.
I mean, top now, 20, baby.
Top 20. Now, I know that doesn't sound mind-blowing, but every single one in front of us is a TSN or a Sportsnet podcast.
Or The Athletic. Or
The Athletic.
Or Barstool Sports. Like, we're the number one independent. Non-French.
And there's podcast, a French podcast ahead of
on
us.
On baseball.
Yes.
Man, do I ever feel like Mr. Baseball right now, you know?
Right?
I led the league in ninth-inning doubles in the month of May. What are you talking about here? We're the number one English-speaking independent podcast in Canada about baseball.
Yeah, we really had to like, shake things up to get to that number one level. Yeah, there you go. But anyways, a big thank you to everyone who has hit subscribe or followed along with us over the years. It is appreciated. Okay, let's wrap up here on a really interesting thing to happen last night in Houston. Jose Altuve on the field, all of a sudden a fan literally walks up to him, like on the field, just kind of walks up, I know you've got the video going, right? Yeah. What?
Just weird. Arm around him, hugging him. Where was security?
Where? And so Jose Altuve was asked about this afterwards, and he kind of told everyone that the fan was like, hey, I love you guys. I spent so much money to be here. You guys got to win this one. And he's like, yeah, we're trying, obviously. And then he went to take his phone out and take a selfie. Like, man, I really cannot get over security. Like, it could have gone so many other ways, and good for Jose Altuve for being such a level-headed guy in that moment.
Just happy that he still has one fan left in baseball, I guess, is the thing, right? He's like, oh, okay. This is a thing I haven't experienced in 4 years. No, honestly, though, that's terrible. Like, even just watching the security here again, like, there is no real sense of urgency. He was alone with Jose Altuve for 10 seconds.
10 seconds, I know.
Before, and even when security got there, like, let's deck this guy. Like, I'm sure this is someone who's, like, suffering, like, mental illness, and I'm not to, like, make light of it or whatever, right? But, like, no person in their sound mind thinks that that's a good idea.
Yes.
Right? Like, you're either...
you're either drunk and shirtless and running across the field.
Yeah. Like, to go out and have a direct interaction with a person, like, there's only one way that ends. Well, this is... it could have ended worse, like you said. Yeah. I don't know.
You brought up a really good point about the mental illness. Like, you're not a guy, you're not a person who just goes on the field in that manner, right? Where you're just like walking, strolling up like, oh, my good buddy Jose and I are going to talk now. Like, there could be more wrong there, right? Like, it could have gotten violent. It could have gotten weird. It could have gotten, there's so many things that could have happened. Well, it just
What if Jose's response was more of a, like, one of rejection? Like, hey,
yeah,
and making some space, not even in like a malicious way, but just like, hey, man, get off of me.
Yeah. Right?
And now this person who, you know, I don't want to say they have something mental illness, but potentially, right? There's a chance of that.
Chances are good.
You know, maybe they don't respond too well. You know, maybe things escalate, and it can escalate quickly. And just watching how, like, slowly security was to get out. I've never seen anything
American
like it.
American League Championship Series. Like, this isn't a freaking game in the middle of June to a half empty stadium.
Yeah, no, it's wild. Hopefully this doesn't inspire any follow up idiots. Let's just say idiots, right? Because
any copycats. Yeah,
there is a potential here where someone goes, wow, like, that guy really got out there. Right. And they didn't crack his skull on the ground or anything. All right. Yeah, I'll go do that.
The dream is they take the entire security team aside. They ream them right out. They're like, you know, maybe even add security. Like, what the? I couldn't wrap my head around was that he got to him and then was there talking to him for 10 seconds, which I'm sure. Listen, I've been in situations where it's kind of weird like that. You know, I've been on stage and had a guy like come at me, you know, and like.
It's like, get your wife's name out my mother effing mouth, right?
yeah. Something like that. That's something right. Like that. But time slows down and it feels like forever.
Yeah.
So like for it to be a 1-1000, 2-1000, all the way up to 10 count, like. Altuve must have felt like this was 3 minutes of this crazy person on the field with him.
Yeah.
Anyways, completely unacceptable. Hopefully Houston does something about it.
Here's one thing, too. In the age of, like, cell phone footage and everything like this, like, the broadcast specifically doesn't show streakers and things like this, right? Because it's like, we don't want to give any of that encouragement or like, you're not going to be famous for doing this, right? Like, take that motive out of someone's brain, right? Whereas like before they stop showing it, maybe that was part of it. It's like, hey, my friends are going to see me on TV running naked on the field.
Yeah.
This is funny. But now because of this age where we are, like, everybody has a phone and the cameras are getting so good there's so much camera footage that, like, sure, the broadcast isn't showing it, but even like two bums like us are like, hey, we got the footage, we'll show you, right? And then real news organizations, like I'm sure TSN's and the Sportsnet and the ESPN's or the local news channel has the footage and are showing it too. So, like, unfortunately, these people do get their 10 seconds of fame after the fact. So it is what it is.
Again, hopefully something's done. Hopefully Houston tightens up security, and hopefully this is just a little blip on the radar. But
and if this guy, again, just to speculate, is being dangerous to speculate on anybody's mental health and well-being, but any person who is having mental health crisis, I hope they get the help that they need and deserve, because it could have ended a lot worse. Thank God nobody was actually injured, and hopefully we don't see any more of it. But
couldn't agree more. Perfect place to wrap up here. Thank you, everybody, who has followed along and watched for the episode. Again, hit subscribe if you have yet to do so. We really do appreciate the walk-off community. There is a free link for the Discord in the show notes, of course. Close to 200 rabid Blue Jays fans in there, constantly talking baseball. All the best, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk-Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Long move.
Thanks for listening.